call to reason. Pakistan's joining of Saudi military coalition is an anti-Shia move. Islamabad's recent joining of the so-called coalition of countries against terror under the auspices of Takfiri backer Saudi Arabia and naming of its ex-military chief as overall commander of the joint military forces has drawn sharp criticisms in Pakistan itself. The move has been criticized as an unwise anti-Shia Muslim move, likely to strain the traditionally friendly relations with neighboring Iran. Stay with us for an analysis in this regard by Pakistan's Rauf Hassan. Rauf Hassan is a political and security strategist. He is the head of the Regional Peace Institute, an Islamabad-based think tank. Stay with us for more of Rauf Hassan's article. The Saudi-led coalition will not be perceived as a coalition against terrorism. Rather, it will be perceived only as an anti-Shia coalition. For Pakistan, joining such a grouping is like shooting itself in the foot. To quote the ancient Roman thinker Marcus Tullius Cicero in his work On the Laws, "For there is but one essential justice which cements society, and one law which establishes this justice. This law is the right reason, which is the right true rule of all commandments and prohibitions. Whoever neglects this law, whether written or unwritten, is necessarily unjust and wicked." When Marcus Cicero talked of right reason, he covered the entire repertoire where it needs to be applied in one's pursuit of taking decisions which will be rendered acceptable across divides, an onerously difficult option to pursue under charged circumstances that are virtually catapulting out of control. But that makes the need to follow reason even more emergent and more advisable as one's ultimate weapon for ascendance over challengers. In view of this, the decision to join the Saudi-led coalition against so-called terrorism remains a mystery. This is based on stories that people at some high places have to narrate about it and the reasons they cite necessitating Pakistan's plunge into this decidedly divisive stratagem. The leading lights of Pakistan's Foreign Office have stated on record that the terms of reference of the proposed coalition against terrorism have not been finalized. Understandably, this task is likely to be undertaken at a meeting of defense ministers of the countries involved, which have joined the coalition, probably sometime next month. Under these circumstances, the obvious question that arises is, what were the compulsions that forced Pakistan to join the coalition and allow one of its recently retired chiefs of army staff to accept the command of the outfit, even before the outline of responsibilities was chiselled? And this is the presence of a clear parliamentary resolution keeping Pakistan out of the Yemen crisis. On the face of it, only a country which is in dire need of accepting whatever is being offered on a platter, or which does not have the option of saying no, will take on such an offer. Let's traverse into the realm of prospects and possibilities that may have necessitated resorting to this dire decision-making mechanism, that of accepting a responsibility before you even know what it entails doing in the position that you're assuming. Conceding the bulk of the pressure would have emanated from Saudi Arabia, what are Pakistan's pressing fault lines that would have made it unbearable? Is it the subservience of its current political leadership to the Saudi largesse in playing the host during their years in exile, and a possible repeat of the prospect in the future, post an adverse Panama case judgment? Or is it the future of those hundreds of thousands of Pakistani workers in Saudi Arabia who could be deported back to the country, there being no democracy in that land that we have sworn to defend by the mere nod of an autocratic hand? Or is it the fear of the stoppage of the trail of cash injections that keep pouring in whenever the ruling elite are in need, particularly the one that is in command at this juncture? Or is it the bondage secured in religiosity? And most importantly, is the cumulative pressure of all this so unbearable that Pakistan should forgo the rational process and fall prey to a decision which is likely to draw a divisive line right in its middle? With the sectarian divide in Pakistan being no secret, hundreds of people having already fallen victim to indescribable atrocities committed in the name of this malaise, and an appreciable number of Shia population of the country, feelings are likely to get further incensed. The government functionaries claim that the prospective coalition is not against any particular country, yet no Shia country has so far been invited to join this coalition. It is also understood to be a coalition to fight terrorism. Should we therefore conclude that the Shia countries are not confronted with the threat of terrorism? More pearls of wisdom have flowed from rulers and their deputies. They say that most of the Shia countries don't qualify to be in the coalition because they don't have governments that can take decisions without outside interference. Only the Islamic Republic of Iran qualifies, and it will be approached in a due course to become part of the coalition. Why Iran has not already been invited to join this coalition remains a mystery. When the Iranian ambassador objected publicly to Pakistan assuming the leadership role in the coalition, it was simply brushed away. The issuance of the no objection certificate to the former Chief of Army Staff of Pakistan has countless embarrassingly contradictory versions floating around. This flawed narrative, which is being systematically projected, is not the outcome of a pragmatic process of thinking with Pakistan's interests at its core. On the contrary, it reflects utter foolhardiness and ambivalence at its worst. We are part of a coalition against terrorism which does not have any terms of reference, and no Shia country has been invited to join this coalition. Further, we have allowed our former Chief of Army Staff to head it. The patent perception that this non-Shia coalition will create will be hard to contest. It will not be perceived as a coalition against terrorism. It will be perceived only as an anti-Shia coalition. For Pakistan, joining such a grouping is like shooting itself in the foot. On the subject of reason, I'm reminded of another masterly saying by the English poet Lord Byron. Those who will not reason are bigots. Those who cannot are fools. And those who dare not are slaves. What are we out of the lot? Bigots, fools, or slaves? Or a bit of all three put in one. Whichever designation we may assume, we are doomed as a nation that has lost its self-respect and that can't stand up to facing challenges in a self-assured and pragmatic manner. This is not the beginning of the decline has set in a long time ago. It is only a sad reflection of further perpetuation of the ailment, an ailment which is now well beyond any prognosis. It is the stock of leadership, sire.